On Monday, November 27th, there is an interesting show on the National Geographic Channel. It's called Is It Real? Ancient Astronauts. And the show features a very interesting person. In fact, it features quite a few people, but our guest is one of the people featured on the show. And Giorgio, how are you?
Very well. Thanks, Jerry, for having me on.
Well, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to cover most of it during the interview. You're on the line with us from Southern California. And tell me a little bit about this TV show.
Well, a couple of months ago, well, a little bit longer than that, the National Geographic Channel contacted my office and asked a whole bunch of questions about the ancient astronaut theory, because I'm the director of research of the Center for Ancient Astronaut Research here in San Diego County. And essentially, we're the only research organization in the world that publishes a magazine called Legendary Times, and that journal is exclusively dedicated to the ancient astronaut theory. And a lot of your listeners might know the name of my boss, and he's a gentleman by the name of Arif von Daniken.
Now, he's going to be on the TV show too, right?
Exactly, along with Zechariah Sitchin, Arif von Daniken, and me. And then they are also interviewing a critic of the ancient astronaut theory. And, you know, right now I have no clue which way this program will go, but I've been given assurances that it will be unbiased. So,
we're certainly going to be unbiased tonight, and we're going to give you a chance to talk to us in great detail about the thesis behind the show. And a few other things I want to get to first, like the Legendary Times. You sent us some copies here at the office. Interesting. How long has this been going on?
The first issue was published in 1999. Arif von Daniken and I, we co-founded the research organization back in 1998, and the premier issue did appear in 1998, but then 99 was the first year where we published six full issues. And
so it's a bi-monthly still yet?
Not anymore. It is now a quarterly.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, bi-monthly was just a bit too much work, especially since we all held down, you know, regular jobs.
Oh, I understand. In fact, I made a commitment. I thought it'd be pretty easy to write 1,500 words for UFO Magazine every month. But guess what? The deadline comes, and I'm staring at the blank page every month.
Yes, I hear that. I know exactly what you mean. And, you know, so we started out slow, and what we pride ourselves in, all the articles that are written in Legendary Times, anybody can go out there and feel and touch and look at these artifacts themselves. None of the stuff that we have in there is made up. I mean, of course, it is the ancient astronaut interpretation. If we look at certain aspects of holy scriptures or ancient monuments and so on and so forth, but you know, everything we write is not mere fantasy. We actually have, you know, ironclad sources. We ourselves go on expeditions to touch these things, to photograph them, to measure them, you know, to see if we can verify the origins of these things that we write about. And we also don't publish or don't put those articles in the web. I mean, it's exclusively in the pages of Legendary Times.
And they can, of course, we have a link over there to a website that you're connected with that I believe you can subscribe to Legendary Times.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's legendarytimes.com, and it gives a secure link to order the subscription, and four 60-page issues per year is $40.
Now, you talked about expeditions. When are you going on another one? Have you got one planned?
There's always an expedition that's planned. However, it always depends on time and the financials, which ones we'll pick up next. I mean, the last one was in, we went to ancient Egypt. Well, not to ancient Egypt, but to Egypt to look at the mysteries of ancient Egypt. And it was very, very exciting. And
what do you make of the pyramids and the Giza pyramid in particular?
Well, there I have to tell people right from the get-go that, you know, whenever people that are not familiar with the ancient astronaut theory, they immediately say, oh, so are you those crackpots that say that the pyramids were built by aliens? And my answer to that is absolutely not, because the ancient histories and the documents and the ancient mythologies, especially of Egypt, talk about these teachers from the sky, the guardians of heaven. And according to their ancient texts, it says that the human beings built the pyramids along with the help of the gods. And when I say gods, by the way, it's always lowercase g. It has nothing to do with the god. It's nothing to do with spirituality. It's, we're talking ancient astronauts. We're flesh and blood space travelers that visited this earth in the remote past.
How did you get interested in this subject?
That's a very good question. Originally I grew up in Switzerland, and Eric von Daniken is he's Swiss. So growing up, I had the privilege to travel with my parents all around the world, and also sometimes with my grandma, and she'd always, you know, mention Eric von Daniken's theories, and she was actually the first person to expose me to the ancient astronaut theory. And as I, you know, got older, I got more and more interested and started to go to a few lectures by Eric von Daniken, and was immediately, you know, hooked. And over time, he started to recognize my face, and so we got to talking. And long story short, when I back in '98, when it became clear that the former Ancient Astronaut Society was going to cease operation, Eric von Daniken said, you know, we really need something in the English-speaking world. Would you be interested? And I said, absolutely. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Now, tell me a little bit about the Center for Ancient Astronaut Research. Where is it?
It's in San Diego County, in North County. And we have a gigantic library of over 3,500 books that are related to or are direct ancient astronaut titles. I mean, it's the largest library of its kind in regards to ancient astronauts. Of course, there's bigger libraries out there, but if it has to do with ancient astronauts or anything related to the field, we most certainly have it. And also, this is the place where, you know, we do the research and where we put together the latest issues of Legendary Times. And by the way, if there's subscribers listening to Legendary Times, don't worry, the next issue is coming. We're working on that.
Now, when you talk about the ancient gods, and you talk about all of this, the ancient astronaut theory or thesis or fact or whatever, how we want to phrase it, are we talking about things that are referred to in the Old Testament of the Bible?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the definition of the ancient astronaut theory is basically we'd like to determine whether or not extraterrestrials have visited Earth in the remote past. And the Bible, the Old Testament, is filled with angels and God and weird machines or objects flying around, the glory of the Lord, which is described as by Ezekiel, a wheel within a wheel, and so on and so forth. Now, back then, mankind, people were not dumb. They were not stupid. However, the main thread that you know goes through the entire ancient astronaut theory is basically a term called misunderstood technology. If we look at most of these ancient texts with a modern perspective, those descriptions are highly technical in nature. And just because the people back then didn't they simply didn't have the frame of reference that we have today. So a being that was able to float around with, let's say, a rocket pack became an angel, because that was more or less something very magical that the people back then, who were technologically primitive, not mentally, they were just technologically primitive, so they couldn't explain what they saw, and so they spun this extraterrestrial visit that happened on multiple occasions in the remote past. That turned into religion, it turned into false worship, it basically, if I may say so, that was the beginning of the mess that we're in today. Let's put it that way.
Well, I agree with you. I'm inclined to accept what you say, simply because it does appear that if I were back in those times and didn't have the technology we had today, I might describe those things the same way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, you have so many references that describe strange objects. Like you have, you know, a stone that would glow, and the stone would speak to you. I mean, what better description if you don't have the words than to describe a computer screen? A computer screen, if you don't know the words, it looks like a stone. And has a glowing front, and it sometimes speaks to you if you listen to internet radio. So it's the same thing that our listeners are now listening to.
Well, yeah, I've often thought that perhaps this technology we're using with the internet and broadcasting probably is extraterrestrial in its origin.
Oh, that is, of course, always a speculation that has been around for a long time, how, you know, all of a sudden, you know, ever since the Industrial Revolution, the leaps and bounds that we've made in technology, especially after 1946, 1947, are astounding, downright. So, you know, why all of a sudden this quantum leap and everything? And so it's most certainly interesting. By the way, just so people understand what exactly I'm referring to, you know, with ancient visitations. Imagine 500 years from now, when mankind eventually will travel in, you know, outer space and explore, as they say, strange new worlds, discover, you know, new life forms, and so on and so forth. If we arrive at a planet that hosts intelligent life, what will we do? Will we just stand back and watch these people or these beings from afar? And my answer is absolutely not. Especially if they're, you know, technologically speaking primitive, we'll give them a gentle push in the right direction. And the question we ask is essentially, well, if 500 years down the road or 1,000 years down the road, if we will do this we human beings will do this on a different planet, why couldn't this have happened here on Earth 10,000 years ago?
It could have. It's a pretty simple answer. You've traveled hundreds of thousands of miles looking for artifacts and relics and evidence. Can you kind of flesh out for me something that really stands out in your mind, a great find, something that...
Yeah, I mean, there's most definitely, there's all the ancient monuments, and, you know, this can start from Peru to Egypt to in Bolivia or even in India. I mean, India still today is such a treasure trove of ancient astronaut goodies that you can barely, you know, walk in India and not see some type of a reference to ancient astronauts. And that is, you know, if you go to any hotel here in our Western world, then in your nightstand you have a copy of the Holy Bible. However, if you go to India, you don't have that Holy Bible in your nightstand. You might have some other holy books in India, and that is the Ramayana and the Bhagavad Gita and the Vedas and all those books. And if you read those with an open mind, I mean, they truly read like science fiction stories or Star Wars with, you know, references to flying machines that the ancient Indian gods used. They were called vimanas. And you have detailed descriptions of what these vimanas were able to do. I mean, and they are referred to as flying machines, chariots of the gods that were piloted by Indra and all the different gods. And these gigantic battles. For example, the Indian epic, the Mahabharata, describes these epic battles that took place in amongst these gigantic cities that once were orbiting the Earth and that were destroyed with weapons of mass destruction and really crazy stuff, even references what you could conceivably say are references to, you know, nuclear weapons. I mean, really crazy stuff. And just, you know, I mean, the word vimana, if you ask some person from India today, you know, how do you say airplane in Hindi, they'll tell you it's viman. So right there you have, you know, a word that survived for thousands of years that still essentially means the same thing as it did thousands of years ago.
It seems to me that a lot of this history in the Bible, and as you mentioned in India and in other cultures and their religious books, there's a lot of violence. Is that something we have to look forward to even today, I wonder?
Well, I mean, we don't have to look forward to it. It's happening all around us. It's been happening all around us for centuries.
Oh, I understand what we're doing to each other, but I was thinking in terms of these intergalactic battles, interstellar battles.
Oh, okay. Well,
any evidence that things like that might still be going on?
Well, I mean,
It's probably off your topic a little bit, but I'm just curious.
It's sort of there. I mean, I really believe that, you know, good and evil permeates the entire universe. So it would be kind of a pink world view to think that, you know, if we ever, you know, go out there and make contact, or if they come here and make contact, that it's all benevolent. I mean, it'll go both ways. There's good species out there and there's bad species out there, because according to the ancient text, the big picture is drawn is that there were battles and there were mutinies and you know, we were sort of in the middle of all of this.
In fact, it almost appears that mankind were pawns of some sort.
Well, I mean, and still today, I mean, with everything that goes on in politics and with you know, Sikh societies and all this, mankind, we are nothing else but pieces on a gigantic chess piece, and only a few people are actually playing the game. And the moment that you understand that concept, or you're okay with that, then, you know, there's really nothing, everything is fine. But as long as you try to, you know, to fight everything with such a fervor, there's certain things that just can't be changed. And so does it have to do with ancient intervention with extraterrestrials, what's going on today? Absolutely. I mean, even our beginnings of mankind is that one of the basic tenets of the ancient astronaut theory is that the extraterrestrials performed a genetic mutation, a targeted genetic mutation of our genes. So something, our DNA was tampered with millions of years ago.
And so we, for lack of a better term, are hybrids?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, we're all hybrids. And the thing is that we are living in highly exciting times right now, because there isn't a day when you don't read something in the paper or on the internet about, you know, this new field of genetics. And people say that the geneticists are on the verge of solving all the mysteries, but I've talked to many, many geneticists, you know, after lectures over a beer and a glass of wine at somewhere at a bar off the record, where they tell me mysteries aren't stopping at all. In fact, the mysteries are just beginning. They're even greater now than they ever were, because, you know, we're being told that the human genome, basically, you could conceivably create a human being by only using 10 to 12% of the human genome. 12% of all the DNA material you carry in your cells is enough to recreate you, Jerry, as a whole. Okay, and geneticists today say that the other 88% or 90% is what they call genetic junk. And right there, we have a problem, because just because we don't understand what that quote-unquote junk is, doesn't mean it's junk. DNA is one of the best message storage devices that we could ever think of. You could hide encyclopedias in there. So maybe we are now finally on the right track, that scientists will find the answer to our cosmic origins, not in the archaeological sites, but within our genes.
It's an interesting world, no doubt about it, Giorgio. And you've been at this for some time now. And if you think back when you first started into this for seriousness, you know, for real, first you were interested, and then you got more interested, and then you really made it your vocation, I guess, even though you have another job, you said.
Well, that was a year ago.
Yeah. And so... basically, what I'm asking you is, have your ideas changed? I'm sure they have, a little bit at least.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. My ideas haven't changed. My convictions have only become stronger. As every day goes by, it's as if I'm working on this, you know, gigantic puzzle, and the more pieces you fit into the puzzle, even though it's not complete, you can see the picture. And so, most certainly...
So basically, you're about filling in the gaps.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and by the way, you know, there are days and there are times, and even, for example, the last issue of Legendary Times, where we will look critically at some sorts of, you know, quote-unquote pieces of evidence that, you know, the UFO field or the ancient astronaut field has held dear for the last 20 years. And I have no problem to expose a piece of evidence as a hoax if it turns out to be a hoax. I'm right there with the scientists to say, look, this is wrong if it's really wrong. Because if somebody says, well, no, you're wrong, and we have, for example, Egyptologists working with us, and they say, because the specific piece of evidence I'm referring to is in Egypt, there is at the Hathor Temple a world-famous lintel stone, a relief of a couple of hieroglyphs that look like a tank, a helicopter, and a jet plane, or some say a UFO. And for the longest time, that has been passed around as the piece of evidence. However, we've been approached by a bona fide Egyptologist who is, by the way, a subscriber to Legendary Times and a longtime member and a longtime friend, and has been reading Eric von Däniken's book since he was 16 years old, and said, you know, this, you know, something else happened here. And basically, what happened is that you have two inscriptions superimposed of one another, thus creating the appearance of a helicopter and a tank and a UFO. And, you know, and of course, we have a 6-page article about this in Legendary Times, where, you know, this claim is substantiated, it is backed up, and if I then have people come up to me, or I get phone calls where people are extremely upset that I've done this, then you know what? I'm not sorry, because I am first and foremost a truth seeker, and I will not perpetrate a lie. And one of those things turned out to be a false piece of evidence. So out with that stuff. But this has only strengthened my conviction that we're on the right path.
Ancient astronauts. And our guest is Giorgio Tsoukalos. This Monday night on television, the ancient astronauts will be part of the Is It Real series on National Geographic. Giorgio told me before we started the program that he expects lots of debunking on the show. In fact, he asked the crew when they filmed his interview if he could record the interview on his own tape recorder. When you watch it Monday night, be looking for that tape recorder sitting on Giorgio's desk. It will be interesting to see how the edit job compares with the real tape that Giorgio made. Giorgio, we still have another half hour to go as we continue to explore the subject of ancient astronauts and your quarterly magazine, Legendary Times. So don't go away, folks. Lots of interesting things coming up. We'll be right back. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime. Anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.